We're in Galatians chapter 6. As we reach the end of our study in this letter. And as we go through studies that will often take maybe even a year or more at times, it's easy to forget all that we have looked at. Sometimes we lose touch with the reality that it was a letter most likely read in one sitting to a congregation of people. In that very letter, they would have interacted with it as a combined whole. And so with that in mind, I'm going to read the entire book of Galatians to us today. And I know that when we read lengthy bodies of scripture, sometimes it's easy to lose concentration. It's easy to lose our focus because of the amount of time. But listen, look at it this way. It's the inspired word of God that was meant to be read as a letter like you read when you get something in the mail. And what do? You read the whole thing, don't you? And so often, you look to see who it's from and who it's to. How did they address it? How did they sign it? And you read the whole thing. Well, Paul's writing a letter, and he's writing a letter to the churches in Galatia. This would have been written and sent to them. They would have received it by the hands of a courier, somebody who carried it. Very likely would have been read by the elder or leader of that church and to a group of people much like this. I couldn't have only imagined that there was a sense of anticipation, but as you know the content of the letter, there might have been a little bit of, here we go. Because the content of the letter does bring about a little bit of, well, shall I say, a lot of rebuke. So we're going to read this in its entirety and consider this as a review. Now, one thing that helps me when I read is I look for things. I want you to look today. I want you to look for these words. Look for the word grace. Look for the word grace. Look for the word truth. Look for the liberty and bondage words. Look for spirit. Now, you may only grasp one of these. I'm giving you a lot of different words, but you may only take one of these, and that is fine. God will direct you. God wants to speak into our lives. Even the word gospel plays a key role. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. And then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, who was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me, God accepts no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. In this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, and or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted them that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that it teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I trust that God uses his word. I know he does. And even as I reviewed that again, it's exciting to see it all put together, right? Did you notice how he ended? He ended with this powerful exhortation. We look at verse 12, as many desire to make a fair show. I'm in chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you, they compel you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Paul understands and realizes that there are some in this fellowship that will continue to live according to the flesh. They want to make a show in the flesh. And that is ultimately the tension that exists. And as we as Christians here today, it is important that we identify in our own lives, are we just putting on a show in the flesh? Or is our lives sincere in the spirit? Are we true all the way through? Or are we about pleasing men? Ultimately, what you read about here is Paul bringing the church and bringing us to the point, am I living because others are living that way or because God says I'm supposed to live this way? Who's the ultimate authority in our life? Are we living because of peer pressure or God pressure? Because of peer influence or God influence? Because of peer persuasion or God persuasion? It's so easy, church, for us to live because that's the way they live, because that's the common way of the day, because that's the way that church does it. That's the way that person does it. Paul has brought to the surface the false gospel that was being proclaimed in this area of Asia. And that is that you can be justified by your works, by following after the law. Go and get circumcised. That's really important in the sight of God and for your salvation and justification. And that message was being proclaimed as a gospel, but Paul calls it out. It is not the true gospel. It is another gospel. And I hope as we read the letter together today, you caught a hold of the word truth. And Paul says, why treat me like an enemy because I declare the truth to you? Why? You realize, don't you, that truth is truth. There is only one truth. It is a narrow, straight rod. In verse 16, we read, as many walk according to this rule. That word rule is actually the word that's used for a measuring rod. It's a standard. It is used to make a straight line the right length. It's the truth in the contracting and construction field. Those of you that worked construction, and I didn't realize this was an issue until recently. But if you're working on a job with somebody else, I learned that it's important to check your tape measures. I didn't know that. I never thought about it. I was like, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, tape measure, it's a tape measure. But your tape measure may measure 10 and 3/8, but mine may measure 10.5. And you might say, well, how's that happen? Don't they make them right? Well, everybody makes them a little bit different. And I realized that as tape measures get older, the little end on the little catch on the end, it slides back and forth. And that gap can get bigger. You know, isn't it a blessing that we don't have multiple different rule books? There's only one. And there's no other gospel. There's only one. The people of Galatia, the churches of Galatia, were being challenged to follow after another gospel that introduced things other than the cross of Christ for justification. All they may have embraced the cross of Christ as important, but it was not the only means of justification and forgiveness of sin. That is false. Many desire to make a show in the flesh. They want you to be circumcised. They go that route because, listen, if you go that route, then you don't have to suffer the persecution from the Judaizers. Then you don't have to put up with all the things that they say against you. The persecution for the cross of Christ. Church, there's easier roads. There are roads that you can take, that you can walk, where people will say, okay, you're all right. But listen, the call of the gospel is for us to walk according to the cross of Christ. For us to understand that there is only one way, one truth, one life. And that's Jesus Christ. It is that singularity, it is that holiness that sets Christianity apart. And because you adhere to the holy standard of God's truth, of the one gospel, you will suffer persecution because the oneness of the gospel makes everything else wrong. And nobody likes to be in error or wrong. Dear ones, are you walking according to the truth? Some wanted to make a show in the flesh. Some wanted to glory in the flesh. And that's another way you could look at it. You see verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But Paul says, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, what? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you glory in? Do you glory in your flesh? Are you walking around saying, look what I have done? As if that merits you something with God. I have done this, this, and this. I have met these obligations. I have gone through these various steps. And listen, there are denominations of churches out there that have these kinds of things cleverly disguised, and they call themselves Christians, and yet their people are in bondage. Christianity, it's not complicated. It's in the cross of Christ. And Paul says, I glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's through him, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. As you think about that statement, by whom or through whom the world is crucified unto me, realize that I am of no value to the world's pleasures and screams. As a follower of the cross of Christ, it is through him that I am now rendered useless to the world and the world's ways, its pleasures, its schemes. It is in Christ. That neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It is in Christ that the works of the flesh, the works of the law, they yield nothing of eternal salvation. What does? What happens? In Christ, you are made a new creature. Praise God. In Christ, there is newness of life. And dear church, this is what you experience when you trusted Christ, the Savior. He makes us new. So, as many as walk according to this standard, this rule, Paul says, peace be. Can you imagine having just heard this letter, and this is how he ends, and he doesn't give options. You walk according to the one true gospel, to this rule, to this standard, peace be on you. Isn't that so thrilling? That you can know the truth, and the truth sets you free, that you today, Christian, can live in peace. That you have a peace with God through Jesus Christ, Romans 5. That you can live having a peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4. Because you know the truth. Walk according to his rule, to his way. Peace be on them. And mercy. Mercy, because we know that we don't always have it right, but we know where forgiveness is found, in the cross of Christ. And upon the Israel of God. What an interesting phrase at the end of this letter. Bringing back to mind all the speech and talk of the Jews and their laws and Abraham, and reminding of the precious covenants and the reminder of the promise. How it is focused on faith. and how God has a chosen people, a people that he has called out to be his own. Israel throughout the Old Testament had that distinction, and they still do today, as being God's chosen people. Church, do you understand that as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a unique and special privilege of being chosen of God? So Paul says, don't trouble me anymore. I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, I want to read for you just a little bit of this testimony from Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often of the Jews. 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Why would Paul keep on going if he suffered so much? Why? Because he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Someday we may bear marks. Bear marks, let us have this perspective. As you take a stand for Christ, and you are marked for that stand, however that may be, look at him like this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Yes, grace. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.